For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, June the 22nd, 1981. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the teacher of the morning.
Wonderful is the Lord. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy, happy, happy with my Lord. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy in my life before. He took away my sadness and He filled my heart with gladness. And He gave me all that heaven can afford. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy, happy, happy with my Lord. A little faster. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy, happy, happy with my Lord. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy in my life before. He took away my sadness, and He filled my heart with gladness, and He gave me all that heaven can afford. Never, never, never have I ever, ever, ever been so happy, happy, happy with my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, this is a good day. Praise the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is upon us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi 3 is a beautiful word to begin with there. We mentioned it, and we would like to then keep, we'll also be touching upon, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God within Christ Jesus. Malachi says something about the Lord, it's most gracious. He qualifies His office and what will bring His office into its full potency, the third chapter of the book of Malachi. I want to look at Malachi. He says, behold, in verse 1, the third chapter, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. I want you to underline that. The Lord whom ye seek. The seeking after, the drawing near to the Lord. Now he will come, and he will suddenly come to his temple. Please circle the word temple. We're going to deal with it in spiritual application. The three cleansings of the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And now the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So this is the ministry of the refiner's fire, bringing forth the capacity of authority and glory in his purifying form, in his revelation form and in his equipping form. This is the refiner's fire. He purifies us with the authority of the fire of God and the righteousness of the Lord. Then he reveals his word through the same fiery anointing, the refiner's fire. He stirs up the word of God, for the word meditate in Psalms 1-2 means chew the cud. And the cow chews the cud many times daily. We let the word of God be assimilated within us. The cow is distinguished as a clean animal because of cloven hoofs. Then the Holy Ghost picks up that cloven hoof, brings it over, or the cloven symbol of cleansing or clean animals, brings it over to the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. Cloven tongues of fire came upon each one of them. Amen? That's the authority of the Word, and the Lord whom ye seek shall come with cloven tongues of fire. Hallelujah. And refine, reveal, and empower. That's why Paul told Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift within you. And then 1 Timothy 1:18, he said, now Timothy, the prophecy that went before on thee. So you can lay a prophecy on someone. That's the authority, or our children. It doesn't matter their actions at the time. Many people think, well, because the children are not paying attention and little Johnny's preaching somebody, and you're saying, thus saith the Lord, that he's not really receiving. But no, it's a greater revelation than that. He is receiving. The Spirit is receiving. And so that's why Paul says, the prophecy that went before on thee. He says, you're to war a good warfare by that. Keep that prophecy as you felt the witness to it and agree with it in your spirit that it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Then war a good warfare by that word from the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful thing. So let's praise God for his word. Thank you, Father. We speak life into your word. We thank you for the power and the authority of thy word this day. And we believe that thy authority and the glory of thy presence will saturate us with thine anointing. And we bless your name. Hallelujah. The Lord whom ye seek shall come suddenly to his temple. He is the refiner's fire. He is the one that will bring forth an offering unto righteousness. Now, we're going to deal with three levels of cleansing in the New Testament where Jesus cleansed the temple of his day and how they relate to the spiritual cleansings of the Lord in our lives today. So put down these biblical texts. The first cleansing in the life of Jesus of the temple was John 2, verse 13. John 2, 13, the first cleansing of the temple, where the zeal of the house of the Lord is revealed. The second cleansing is Matthew 21, verse 12. Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, that is mentioned, the great cleansing that many of us think about when we think of the cleansing of the temple. That was beginning of the Passion Week before Jesus was crucified. Then he goes to Bethany to rest that night. He gets up and he sees the fig tree and he rebukes it. And then after rebuking of the fig tree, he goes on and he cleanses the temple the third time, twice in 2 days now. And the third cleansing of the temple is found in Mark 11, verse 12. And then continues for several verses. But Mark 11 only gives us a short commentary there. And the first speaks of the zeal of the house, the first cleansing. The second cleansing speaks of the Son of David and the miracles that are to be performed within the life of the believer. The third cleansing speaks of be careful of the vessel. Watch how you carry a vessel through the temple. In other words, there is the anointing of the potter. Come forth as a vessel unto honor. Unto honor. This treasure is an earthen vessel. So he deals with the vessels of the Lord. And that's where he's dealing with God's people even now. We've come through as John the Beloved spoke. I speak to you, I write to you children. I write to you young men, because you have power over the authority of the wicked one. And then I write to you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, each of those areas, the three maturation anointings of God, are brought out. So the first cleansing is a cleansing of the Holy Ghost, giving us and empowering us with fruits and gifts of the Spirit to feed the hunger, for the zeal of the house of the Lord will eat us up. The second cleansing is the anointings of Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy Ghost. The baptizer with the Holy Spirit is Jesus, and he has come within us to give us power over all the power of the wicked one. And then the third cleansing is the potter, who is the Father, and he will mold us into the Father heart of God. This is a beautiful framework of what the Lord is saying. But I want to touch upon, before we go into the details of those cleansings, and the spiritual principles thereof. Hebrews chapter 1 to 3 is very important. I want us to look at this book of Hebrews and know what the authority of the Lord is bringing to pass in this particular framework. In the book of Hebrews, it speaks of the voice of the Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, in Hebrews 2, verse 1, to the things which we have heard, circle the word heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip is a beautiful word, parousio, and that word, parousio, means to flow beside or past, to slip away from one's memory. It has to do with, in the Greek, what the Apostle Paul intended here, is that therefore we should give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time, it's just like when you get close to the precipice, and what Paul meant was the very last help is what Jesus speaks. No one else can help you but Jesus. And as you're coming close to the tremendous Niagara Falls of life, and the pace picks up, and you feel the turnings and feel the tide, and you cannot swim against it yourself. You're caught in the tremendous current that's going over into devastation, destruction. The last hand that you see would be Jesus. He said, don't let these things slip, which he is saying. Amen? But he's telling to you, give the more earnest heed, reach out and make an effort, because as the force of the tide would try to destroy, Jesus is the last grip and the last safeguard, and therefore don't let them slip. He's the one who has reached over for you, and he's the one who will, he's the only one who will save you from the precipice of eternal damnation. It's a beautiful term. It's pathetic, but beautiful. And so this is why he said, now, the things that you have heard, give the more earnest heed to them, Be careful what you hear. So now let's read from verse 1 of chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past. Circle the word spake. He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken. So circle that. He spake, God spoke, prophets. But now in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hallelujah. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now this is the speaking of the Lord. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. So in the book of Hebrews, the blood speaks. The blood of Jesus. I wondered for years as I prayed, God, there's more revelation to the blood. Give us a revelation in the blood. And Jesus spoke to my heart, and he says the blood flows into two emphases, not only regeneration, forgiving and forgetting sin, but in proclamation, because the blood speaks. And once you're saved and born again by the power and the authority of that blood, then you let the blood speak through you. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, the blood has my life and released my life through the fruits and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And no more are they a gift, but they're my life. And the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood spoke from the ground hatred and murder and revenge. But Jesus' blood speaks from the living ground, the living earth, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, and the gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and faith. Where is there no law against it? The glory of God speaking through us by the gifts of the Holy Ghost is the blood of Jesus. It's just as part of salvation in the atonement as anything else, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the authority of the blood. So he says, you better not let it slip. Turn to the third Hebrews 3. That tremendous call. I love this. My, this is one of the more than just as much, I guess, as John 3:16. These tremendous words, and how many gracious sermons have we heard from this text. Wherefore, in verse 7, I mean, Hebrews 3, verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter in to my rest. Put down Numbers, I believe it is Numbers 14. And I believe it's, I'm not sure of the verse, verse 20 or 21. Here is where in Numbers 14 that the wrath of God was stirred up because the people of Israel believed the 10 spies with the ill or wicked report. But Joshua and Caleb had a good report. And they says, we are well able. Amen. Remember what Peter said? Such as I have. Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able. Hallelujah. There is the revelation of what you have. The refiner's fire anointing upon you what Jesus has said and given to us, we have it. So therefore, this is the strength of the individual. Then the people begin to throw stones at Joshua and Caleb, and God's wrath was kindled and was being poured out. Moses came and said, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. So therefore, God brought his wrath back to him. And he said, all right, Moses. He said, I'll forgive them. But then he said that tremendous verse, surely as I live, saith God, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. Hallelujah. And then he said, Joshua hath another spirit, a better spirit upon him, and I'm going to take him into the land, or Caleb. Caleb had another spirit. So he blesses these two men and lets them go into the promised land. But did you know that that verse has never been fulfilled in Numbers? It's still yet to be fulfilled. Surely as I live, saith the Lord, hallelujah, saith God, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. In other words, he's stating here that I, in the eternal purpose, I am working in my people, and you are a part, and as you obey, as you work in the framework of my anointing to bring forth my person, my ways into the earth, the glory of the Lord will one day fill the earth. But I cannot allow anyone to enter into my land who has taken up rocks of doubt to throw at my people. When they do it, I'll forgive them. They'll be my people in relationship, but I will not allow them to go into the overcoming land of my fellowship. That's right. The evangelicals and the critics of the Holy Ghost, they can say the gift of tongues is of the devil. God permits it. They can say all types of critical things about the spiritual walk. In fact, there's more criticism among the old-line Pentecostals now about the spirit-filled life. Somebody was telling me that they were laying hands on people, and there was another church, a Pentecostal church, and the pastor asked her, don't come here anymore if you're going to lay hands on people. What have we come to? I didn't even realize that one. Oh, have mercy. I'll forgive you. Sure, you'll be in the group, but your carcasses will fall. You'll be in relationship to me, but you'll not enter into the victory that I had for you. It's a sad commentary. I don't preach from this area of Scripture, but yet it has not changed because that promise has never been fulfilled. But it will be, but it means it's still in effect. God will forgive, but he will not allow them to come into the position of victory. So don't be so perplexed why others that deceivingly are good people, they know Jesus as their Savior, but they cannot receive the strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They have made a choice somewhere down the line. Brother Ellingwood, it is said that there is the choice is made in as the tabernacle is formed. The outer court of the tabernacle is for all the ones that are born again into the kingdom. The evangelicals. Then those that desire, that's a gift. Born again, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So you can come into the kingdom, be in the outer court, it's a gift of God. Then you come to the holy place, and to get into there, you must be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For there the lampstand is with the seven branches, and the lamps full with the oil and the beaten gold and the olive oil, burning within our hearts by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that too is a gift. For if you repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. But the third dimension is the Holy of Holies, where only the overcomers go into that dimension. Now, that's not a gift, friend. And this is where teaching and preaching and the authority of ministry is perplexed. We have spoon-fed each other so much in the gift realm that now we come to the veil, which is right from the top to the bottom, but there's still a qualifying anointing that we must enter into, and we must know, hallelujah, the glory of the Word, so that we're changed, hallelujah, from glory to glory into His image, hallelujah, and then He beckons us in to the holy place. That's no gift. You have to qualify for that one. You don't belong to any group to get into that one, brother. That's one that you will, and the Holy Ghost and the refiner's fire prepares you for that one. Yes, of a week, of a day, for I have enclosed you with my presence, and I will clothe you with my anointing, that you may enter into the desire of the Lord. So be of good cheer and contriteness, and come before the Lord with a humbleness of heart. For yea, the Lord will prepare you. And as you yield unto the Lord thy God, the refiner's fire shall equip you, and you shall be beckoned by the Father into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Into the throne room. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all praise the Lord in the Holy Ghost. Speak in the Spirit. Speak in the Holy Ghost. We qualify ourselves with desire. We desire your fire. We desire the authority. We desire your perfection. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today if you'll hear his voice, amen. Also down to verse 15 of the same chapter, the third chapter of Hebrews, it says it again. Now it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, were provoked, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with him that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And remember this, there was a group that went ahead with the ark of the Lord, and later on, and Moses said, don't go after the enemy now after you've been reprimanded, and it won't do any good. So there's a timing to obey God. Later on, they wanted to do it, and they were defeated mercilessly. Oh, my. So today, if you'll hear his voice, see the timing? Today, while the opportunity is before us, this is the voice of the Lord. This is the wooings of the refiner's fire. It's the moving of his voice, hallelujah, throughout all the earth. Glory to God. I want us to turn now to Daniel 4. Hallelujah. I like it in the book of Daniel. Reminds me of the story, of the, sort of a preacher story. This backwoods preacher that his education was limited. But God blessed him, and on Sunday morning, he'd get up and he'd just open the Bible, you know, and sort of like Judas went out and hung himself. Go do thou likewise, and what thou doest, do quickly. But it was not that bad. He really, He was a good prayer warrior, and the Lord was with him. And he just turned a portion of Scripture and started out. And my, the people were amazed how that because of the limiting of his education, yet the anointing of the Word just flowed, and he could just go anywhere, and especially in the New Testament. But this time he just opened the Bible and fell open to Daniel, you know, chapter 4, verse 1. And he looked at that, Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't even know how to pronounce it. He was troubled just for a moment as he looked at it, and he said, finally a grin come on his face. And as he rolled up his sleeves, he looked at the people and he said, Nebuch had a razor. Now he says this, Bible says Nebuch had a razor. He said, I don't know who Nebuch was. And I sure don't know where he got that razor. But I'm going to preach on this morning, what are you doing with what you got? Hallelujah. So Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. And he had all the wonders. He was one of the seven wonders of the world, was Babylon. Haley's Bible handbook is very good to reveal to us the glories of Babylon. And also in the German Archaeological Society, that those volumes are very good for the description of Babylon. Babylon was so great that they had fresh vegetables. They had these tremendous, huge mounds where the water come over, and it was just like our air conditioning today. They were well up on modern inventions in different ways as they used the natural means and minerals of the land and of the earth and the water. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. The walls of Babylon, my, you could run several chariots on it at once. What a tremendous kingdom spread throughout the whole earth. So Nebuchadnezzar was dealt with by what the Bible calls the watchers. So he sees, now let's read from verse 19, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said to Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew, and the strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And put down there that tremendous text in Malachi 3:10, that there may be meat in my house. Meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, verse 23, underline and circle the term a watcher, the angels of God, or the angel of the Lord, and an holy one, I would say Jesus here, coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down. What do they say in the forest? Timber. And that's what's happening here. Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times or 7 years pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High. See, here's El Elyon again, the highest, the Most High. See, when the Most High is involved, that means this principle is related to us in all cases. Which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Hallelujah! Glory to God, the Most High ruleth, not you. 26th verse. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. What the mercy of God. In other words, the kingdom is kept for you. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now put in here Joel 2. And I believe the verse is around 22. But where it says, what the palmerworm and cankerworm have taken away, my God shall restore. Hallelujah. So that is implied also. There'll be a great restoration because the stump is the only thing that's left. The kingdom, hallelujah, shall be preserved. Amen. So that's why the Lord puts that in there. There's a tremendous revelation there for those that will hear. Verse 27. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, Daniel says, King, repent. Get right with God, and this won't happen to you. This is a tremendous man, Daniel. He said, now this is the interpretation of it, but I have the grace of God to tell you that if you will get right with God, this won't happen. Isn't that something? Tremendous. I have devoted much time in the areas of talking to people and counseling. Many people in the body of Christ feel that sometimes there is a negative dream given unto them, and therefore, and there's enough element of spiritual confirmation that they feel it's going to happen. It doesn't matter if it hair lips whoever, it's going to happen. But all dreams are conditional for you. And some people get in the habit of just dreaming up negative things. Especially in-laws. I don't know how in-laws do it. I've got some in-laws that, if you stump your toe, my, you better do something with it. I knew Uncle George, and he stumped his toe, and then came cancer. Or something else, you know. Just always breathing out negative things. And well, now, you know, your aunt so-and-so, you know, she's been given the dreams, and they'll come to pass too.
You got the same relation, haven't you?
And they'll call up, you know, and you really respect, you know, and them, especially mother-in-laws and other in-laws and outlaws and relatives. Yeah, she dreamed the other night that it was your house and it was going to burn up. It was a dog involved, a black dog. Do you have a black dog? Yes. Now, what do you do in a state like? In other words, there's just enough spirit, and I'm being truthful with you. Sometimes these things get in and rob your peace. Now, what do we do with something like that? We come back to the spiritual excellency of Daniel. Daniel had an excellent spirit, and he said, if you'll repent and get right with God and draw nigh to the Lord, it doesn't mean you have to go through and through. Now, what have I done wrong? That's not the point of view. The point of view is seek the Lord. And this will be what you promise. I refuse it in the name of Jesus.
Dick Bell said there was a Four Square pastor, friends of his, and they were up north in California. Why, both of them had a dream they was going to have a wreck on Highway 3. It bothered them so much. They said, well, boy. They just jumped in the car and drove down Highway 3, and sure enough. That's right. They had a wreck. Pastor come to me and said, brother, this is a certain thing I've dreamed about, and my wife also, and that we're going to be separated and everything, and man, it has both of us wringing wet with, you know, just wore out with turmoil and turbulent spirit. So in the name of Jesus, I refuse that. I turn all those negativism. You can refuse it in the name of Jesus. Because I look up the term nightmare. Well, brother, don't. We asked if God, if this is of God, so-and-so would happen. We'd pass a polka dot Volkswagen or something, you know, and so forth. And there it was! I forget what it was. And this is an actual case. He had spiritual confirmation after spiritual confirmation. I said, I don't care. The anointing of the word says that bless God what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. He will settle the word. And you refuse that dream and lay hands on him and command it to leave. And all of the perplexity and turmoil of spirit, lifted off of him. Yeah, but they got a good track record, brother. I refuse it. I will not allow any saint of God to do the devil's business. I can recognize the devil when he accuses me, but don't let any other person come on and try to lay on something negative and depressive. Don't try to do your enemy's business. I can rebuke either case. Amen. And I'm not saying that you better start rebuking your mother-in-law, but I am saying that you don't have to refuse it. I mean, you don't have to accept it. You really don't like this teaching anyhow. Because, they're saying of God. The Lord showed them a dream, and what's their names didn't have children, and they had a baby because they... You know, and there'll be those that God does use in certain areas. Then they get sort of carried away with it, see? And then they'll start in, see? Boy, if you don't jump when they holler frog. So just under your breath say, I refuse it in the name of Jesus. Well, I'll pray about it. I usually get off with that one. We were going to Vietnam on the Vietnam airlift, Brother Glenn. And some well-known evangelist, who's in prison now, but anyway, he was well-known. And he started prophesying and said, not every one of you men are going to come back. And many of the brethren that wanted to go with us didn't go. When did it really come out strong? About 2 days before we were to leave. And it hit us through the relatives about the night before. My wife answered the phone and said, did you hear that brother so-and-so? And boy, you know him now. He gets a straight word from God. Cancer just come out of people. And he speaks. Young man named Leroy. But anyway, boy, when he prophesies,
you sure you won't let Chuck go? Well, not all the men are coming back. Well, we already knew that. In other words, we knew the risk involved. We didn't know any. But to be, have a prophecy laid on us is something else. And I stood there, you know, in the kitchen, and I said, Jesus, there's too many things that have happened positively. And I wouldn't have turned around then if I'd already set my heart in God. I was already the one that inspired the whole thing. God spoke to me, you're going to Vietnam. And I tried to get in touch with that singer, Jack Holcomb. And I called everywhere, and he just had left, or he was coming, and I missed him all over. And I told Paul Toverty one day, I said, Paul, Jesus is moving within me to go to Vietnam and minister to the boys over there in 1966. And did you know that by me telling Paul Toverty that, put the seed within his heart, I never could, never did, reach Jack Holcomb. He passed away a few days after that. Paul Toverty went back and started hammering. He was a contractor, and he started putting in nails. And the more he hammered, the more the melting of the Spirit came upon him. And he began to weep outwardly until he thought it would be wise not to be. He just couldn't. He just started weeping, and he dropped his hammer, went into his truck, got up in that truck, and said, my God, if you want me to go to Vietnam, I'll do it. I'll take a group of men there. See, Paul Toverty had the money to back up all of the necessary arrangements that needed to be done through the Full Gospel Businessmen. And he come home and he ran and grabbed the phone and called me. Said, Brother Chuck, Jesus spoke to me today. And he said that we're to go to Vietnam. What do you think I should do about it? And all I said was, thus saith the Lord. And I began to prophesy. And the prophecy was the strength and the anointing of God would come upon him. Hallelujah. And he would see the way he'd be made clear, even though there would be obstructions. But we will do it. He called up Demas. And Demas said it's the only thing that they had 100% bold. That night, the executive board was meeting of the Full Gospel Businessmen, and we all went to Vietnam. Hallelujah. And you can tell we returned. But I stood there, and then tears flowing down my face, and Marianne looked up at me, and I said, honey, I said, I don't care. I said, listen, you and I are going to agree right now. We refuse this. We refuse it in the name of Jesus. This has no partner lot in the matter. Because I'd rather be in Vietnam, in a battlefield situation, in the will of God, than to be out here on a California freeway out of the will of God. If you've ever been on the California freeway, you'll know what I mean. But that's true. I remember saying it, and it took the load off of her, and we both agreed right then. And she had to have just as much dedication to have me go than I had when I felt God called me to go. It moves in your whole family, friend. Yeah. And be patient till the other one feels that anointing. Amen? Let's talk in tongues about that, too. Seem good to the Holy Ghost and to us. My, just miracle after miracle in Vietnam. How the Lord used a little lieutenant. In fact, the generals were fussing about this for months after we were there. They want to find out who in the world let this bunch of civilians loose in Vietnam. We would run, we'd sign on the manifest. See, they had military flights going every which way, all over, helicopters and everything. Old Sam Rudd and Bill Swan run out and grab the helicopter, and the guy said, hey, and you know, everybody, especially the officers, wear civilian clothes because of the snipers. And they say, hey, where are you guys going? You going with us? And he said, yeah, we want to going to Saigon. He said, all right, you grab that ammunition box. Both of you have an ammunition box. Get in from either side. And they crumped down in the back, and the pilots were there, and they were, and they didn't gain any altitude. They thought, well, that's funny. And here they were on a strafing mission. And the hell, that means they were shooting up some enemy and being shot at. And here these two car dealers are landing And they said, now, if we're shot down after they're in the air, if we're shot down, you guys go out either side, but stay with the guns with those ammunition boxes. We might need them. Well, we will start praying. Just some exciting things.
I went up to the... Ben Piper and I were at Play Coup together. We were supposed to meet the gang over there after we all got out of Saigon, which was a great deliverance. Hallelujah. And I was standing at the airport chapel there in Play Coup, and here come a great big Texan. And his name was Bissell on his fatigues, you know, there, Bissell, like the Bissell rug cleaner. He said, sir, is there any service here in the chapel? And I inquired, no, there wasn't any service that night or then. I said, no, there isn't, Bissell. And he turned and he took about three steps. And the Holy Ghost just come all over me. I said, Sergeant Bissell! See, I am an ambassador of Jesus. Amen.
You want to know Jesus as your personal Savior?
He started crying. And he wilted and cried and cried and cried. When he got his composure, I led him in the sinner's prayer. And he accepted Christ there at the steps of the Play Coup Chapel, Air Force Chapel. And I said, after he accepted the Lord and the burden rolled off of him, and my, how God touched him. I said, Bissell, I won't tell you who I am. I'm a civilian, a minister, but I'm Chuck Flynn from the States. I live in California. But now, Bissell, I've come 12,000 miles over here. And I said, how come you came to the chapel? Have you ever been here before? No, sir. I said, then how come you to come to the chapel now? He said, sir, I was in the library. And he said, something moved upon me to go to the chapel. He said, I knew I'd need to get right with God. I didn't know how. But he said, I walked down to the chapel. Now, he walked two blocks, and I went 12,000 miles. But God put us together in the Play Coup Chapel, and one soul is in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah! Oh, I tell you, this experience after experience. Hallelujah. How beautiful it is. We were on some very strategic and dangerous areas. But you know, the cocoon of Jesus is around you when you're in his will. I was in a tornado in Maryland. A tornado in Maryland. I didn't know it till afterwards. I'm glad the Lord don't reveal everything to us. Sometimes. But the turbulence was so strong, and I just had to hold the seats in that little puddle jumper, and it was terrible. Oh, my. But you know what? I felt that peace. I was in the will of God. I was ministering. Going for. I mean, there's something about being where God wants you. Doesn't matter what's happening. Hallelujah. So that's the strength that he wants you and I to know. That's the glory. But from that moment on, hallelujah, the anointing of God brought forth that peace and joy. I believe that you can refuse negative things because there will be those things that will happen. Whenever God touches you, and the thrill of that touch or that call or something that you're to do in him, there'll be a momentary thrill or a preparation of it, and then all of a sudden there'll be a plateau when all types of digression and depression and all types of questions will come upon you, whether you're to do that or not. You'll go through this little season of a period. I call it the faith stress period. Don't hear too many sermons on the stress of faith, but there is. In other words, there is that cricket, and then there's that leveling off when the Lord is fortifying you. We were to go in South America, and then all of a sudden, Marianne and I seemed like, why, we didn't feel that enthusiasm. We felt, what is it? Should we go or not? I don't know. And we were questioning, you know, maybe we shouldn't go. And we didn't even have the money. But when you have the desire from God, then the money will come. Or, you know, the financial support.
I said, I don't know, honey. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, you know, I remember in Bible school, there was a fella, a pastor over here at Huntington Beach, and they know a little bit about it. I don't know. I just feel like calling them. I called him up, and I said, you know, we were thinking about going to South America, but in Brazil, ministering there with the Dickersons and some other friends and missionaries. John and Lydia Olson now are part of that work down there at the Bible school. He said, oh, Chuck, he said, man, there's what you do. And he gave us another format. He says, the airlines will let you stop at 13 countries on one ticket. In other words, it's the same fare, but you get to stop at these countries on your way down and a certain amount on your way back, which means 13 countries. And we, instead of going to one country and visiting and ministering in one country, we visited 13 countries. And then the enthusiasm come back on us. The glory of God. What happened? The vision was expanded. Amen? So just because you feel a cramp, don't give up and say, well, maybe, ooh, I don't feel that which I felt that God was leading us. No, just hold on and praise, because all it's doing is expanding. Amen? And we had release classes all through with the leaders, and we prophesied over, I think it was several 20-some couples in one night at one missionary's home. They had come from every place, and many represent many denominations. And today even, and just recently, there have been those that said, we were in that, sir, we were in that home. And you prophesied over us, we were getting ready, we were discouraged, we're going to come back home. But, oh, the Lord spoke to us, and some things that were said that only God knew. And so they stayed, and now they have good, strong works because of the anointing of the Lord. Amen. Encouraging. If you hear His voice, hallelujah, harden not your heart. Go on in and believe and receive it. So now, this is what Daniel's saying. Daniel is saying, you can refuse that negative dream if you seek the Lord. Hallelujah. That's all. Amen. Seek the Lord. But you know what? Look at verse 28. I'm at Daniel 4, verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end. Now, see, you say, well, now, oh, that wasn't fair. You know, it just came upon him right away. No. At the end of 12 months, he wept in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Take this into the New Testament framework, and how long did Jesus give to dig around the tree, to water it, and ask the Father, how much time did he ask the Father? 12 months. Father, let me dig around the tree for 1 year. That's right. Let me encourage you. And I believe that the Son of God is dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. The anointing here, the wonderful grace of God, deafening for 12 months. But at the end, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Verse 30, what a sad commentary. The king spake. You remember what Psalms 1 said? The heat of rage. People imagine the main thing. And here it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So the king was taking credit for Babylon. Now, verse 31 is one of the most astounding verses. For many years of ministry, I never saw it. While the word was in the king's mouth, here's one word, here's the negative word that's in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Hallelujah. There is the voice again. Today, if you will hear his voice, as in the provocation, today, if you hear his voice, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken,
the kingdom is departed from thee. Because he didn't give glory and majesty and attributed the honor unto God for making the earth and the kingdoms thereof. He took the credit. There fell a voice because he did not give glory to God and said, now everything's taken from you. And he grew feathers and became as an animal for 7 years till he looked up and said, the Lord God ruleth in the affairs of me. For here the voice has fallen and brought judgment because man did not give glory to God. And now we take this voice, who is the Holy One, who is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, and we take that voice and we lift him up and we bring him over into Acts 2:4, and again, where there was 120, and they were all of one accord, again the voice falls. There was a different reaction. There was a different judgment. It was the righteousness. It was power. It was glory. It was majesty. The Holy Ghost voice fell on the day of Pentecost, and man gave majesty and glory and honor unto God with a heavenly language. Hallelujah! Because we have a kingdom who, hallelujah, is of our God. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. And the voice fell and brought judgment to Nebuchadnezzar because he didn't give glory to God. So the voice of the Holy Ghost falls on you and I and has us give glory to God. Hallelujah! Because we recognize God is in command over the affairs of man. And he is a refiner's fire, and he will bring his glory and honor and power unto us. And his anointing has fallen upon you, and you have a greater than Babylon. You have the kingdom of heaven. You have the authority of the anointing of God. You have the portfolio of God's power. Hallelujah. Therefore, that authority is upon you to give glory and honor today if you'll hear his voice. Harden not your heart, because that voice will be the voice of authority and power and glory and majesty, hallelujah, that gives the authority unto Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus took the cords and he went down the first cleansing and he cleansed the temple, the disciples saw his enthusiasm and they said, surely the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten me up. Hallelujah. The zeal of the house of the Lord means the hunger of those who will come to the body of Christ to be fed. You're going to be devoured one way or the other, friend, and you might as well get the fruits of the Spirit on you and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, because people will eat you up when you have the anointing of God. But there is a negative devouring, and it's found in Galatians 5:15, where Paul says you bite and devour one another. Amen. So if you don't have the anointing, amen, I want so much anointing that when they get down to the flesh, they'll be wore out. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because the voice of the refiner's fire is upon us, the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten us up. Now, it's a gift, the authority of God within your salvation. And as we are spoon-fed by ministers, by others, pastors, evangelists, and the glory of God's upon us, then there's a season, see. Psalms 1 gives us that maturation growth. If you don't sit, stand, or walk in the ways of ungodliness and sinners, and if you meditate in the law day and night, but that's just not enough to know Scripture. A lot of people know Scripture, and all they can do is go around but two and argue. So he says now in verse 3, I'm going to plant you by rivers of water. I'll plant you by rivers of water, and that means that he has planted us where many rivers come together. In the Hebrew, it means we are planted by God in the Delta land where it's easy to grow. Because many rivers have come by. In other words, after you've been separated from the world, after the anointing of God through his word is upon you, then there are some experiences that God calls rivers.
and the rivers that come to your life. My wife is a great river to me. Others in the younger ministry have been a real river. In fact, Glen Irm has been a great river unto us. We thank God for that. Those who have helped, those who have been encouraging in the ministry and in the things of God for our life. Thank God for the rivers. Amen. Even negative circumstances have been tremendous rivers. We dare not stop them. We just give God praise because we'll have roots that will grow forth that never would have if we hadn't had that negative experience as we trust and depend upon the Father. So he says, now, if you allow these rivers to nourish you, and now you're going to have your season, his fruit, and his leaf shall not wither. Now you become mature enough to minister to others. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the glory. That's the authority. That's the zeal of the house of the Lord. Is that when the sinner comes into our midst, he will fall on his face and say, surely God's in this place. Because the sword of Mary has pierced, hallelujah, the body of Christ and the authority of the Lord. Says in thoughts of many hearts be revealed, and therefore, as the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the secrets of men's hearts shall be revealed. That's the sword of Mary, the sword of the cross. Is upon God's people because of the authority of that sword, we cut both ways. Hallelujah. As setting free and delivering, and then bringing forth the authority of the fruit and the harvest is in our hand. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit shall be brought forth. Hosanna to the Son of David. For blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When you deal with the second cleansing, you have to go back into Psalms 8. For Jesus quoted from Psalms 8, verse 2. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. In Psalms 8, verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Jesus said when you're ordaining strength is when you're perfecting praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's out of the mouth of babes and sucklings as you and I project the anointings of God. It says it's because of your enemy and the adversary. You will still the hand of the enemy and the adversary. Satan is bound because the praise and the worship and the divine authority, the fallow ground is broken up. And praise God, then the authority of God sets a captive free. That's the element of the joy of the Lord. So then the miracles of God are brought forth, and we have power over the air, over the sea, and over the land. That's the second cleansing. You're to come into the key of David. And then the third cleansing is that Jesus got up early in the morning, and on his way to the temple, he went over to a fig tree. Now those of biblical lands tell us that the figs of this particular season, and we know the season, it was because Jesus died on March the 14th. It could not be any other day according to Exodus 12. It had to be when the sacrifice of the lamb took place. So we know the exact day. We don't know the exact year, but we know it was on March the 14th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus said, it is finished. That's when the lamb was to give his life. Or the lamb's life was to be taken. And that's when Jesus died for you and I. Therefore, that authority of the Lord was upon him. And when he went to the fig tree, there should have been figs on there. Then the leaves come. So if it had leaves, it should be figs. I can't see Jesus being unreasonable myself. So when he went, there was only the fig leaves. Well, it's easy to see what he's doing. He's bringing out a type and a shadow. And he wants you and I to know that there were three types of cleansings in the temple. Now, in the midst of the cleansings of the temple, just before the third cleansing, that he's moving in our hearts in these last days, providing the vessels unto honor. He said, I'm going to cleanse the fig tree. And all there was leaves. That's the religious system in the earth. And it came from Nimrod's day. And out of Nimrod, or out of Babylon, would come all the false religions and idolatry that has to do with all of that which from Nimrod's day tried to hunt the souls of men. Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven, and Tammuz, her son, that was killed by the wild boar and was supposed to have been raised after 3 days. Therefore, many ancient religions had this mother and her baby in her arms. It was Semiramis and Tammuz way before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. And so, heathenistic Babylonian types of idolatry. Now, since the last 2,000 years, since the Nicene Council of 326 A.D., Constantine brought in the decree because he had a great victory. After he prayed and saw the cross, he said, everybody in the government must be a Christian. And that was the beginning of the downfall of holiness. And out of that came a tremendous idolatry that we know of today. And so it all has to do with, and what people think they're worshiping today and calling them Mary and Jesus is nothing else but Semiramis and Tammuz. And that goes back then, further than that. What Jesus did to the fig tree means he went all the way back to when Adam and Eve clothed themselves with a fig tree, their own covering. And he rebuked all coverings of man and all religions and all idolatry. And that was the sign of the rebuking of the fig tree from the very roots. God will cleanse in our day. Hallelujah. And that's why we need the cleansing of the temples of God, is because the Lord's dealing with you and I, and we will be striving to exploits as God deals with the religious spirits of the land. He's taken away the fig leaves, brother, and men, we're going to see a great harvest. Hallelujah! We'll see men with their hearts open and crying out for the truth. Turn to their own covering. And congregations will turn on to the power and the anointing. And woe be unto the man on the pulpit that does not preach the truth. Because this is almost, I can feel the spray of this judgment coming upon the historic and the idolaters. God's going to do it. And I'll let him have it. Amen. Because I want to be, hallelujah, purified by the refiner's fire. He will do it, but we will be alert. The army of the Lord will be ready. And Jesus said, we won't offend them for a while, but there'll be a day when the king's children are free. Hallelujah. I'll go into that later on tonight. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. Let's worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. Even my almost of Guriandelibo Santa, who's destroying the works of the devil, you will move, hallelujah, on the affairs of man. And thank God, Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, and we praise you for it. Hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory. Hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory. Hallelujah. I don't know the rest of it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. We bring ourselves open into the authority of the Lord, and we will not turn back. Amen. I have put my trust and locked my heart in on him. I've reached forth for his hand. I will hear his voice. Hallelujah. We will do exploits. We shall know the cleansing. And the Lord whom we seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And that's what he's doing at this hour. He's spiritually purifying us with revelation. Meet for the hour. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Glenn will...
come at this time. We want him to come, and we want to give liberally and generously and to meet the budget of this hour. And I appreciate that, Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. Have you recognized how the offerings have been taken? I haven't felt any pressure. A good offering this morning? Is it a little under what the budget usually is? All right. See, he hadn't said that, but I felt that. Amen? All right. Now, let's have some commitment this morning. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we purpose in our heart how to give, that means we're purposing in our heart how to receive. Some of them have said that we receive out of the same hole we have given. Some of us need to enlarge that a little bit. Amen? Ask the Lord to deal with you. Right now, I believe that the trustworthiness of the Spirit's upon you. I really want to see. I don't like to have anyone, especially here with Glenn and Irma, and very good friends. They have many of these conferences. Now, I'd like to say this. There is a need for different types of ministries. And I put up with a lot of areas where people overemphasize, or they're walking in this dimension or that dimension. But did you know that I can't count on my hand above my hand, and I don't even think I can go too far under three places, but at least that have an emphasis, continual emphasis, of what hot springs at the Lake Hamilton camp has, that people can be set free. It's not the most popular ministry, friend, but as a minister of the gospel, I appreciate it. If somebody say, oh, I see you're going down to Lake Hamilton, and they clear their throat, and boy, that bunch down there, you know, they sound a little, you know, and but I told Glenn, I protect, speak right up. I said, hey, you can't find very many places. We better support a work like that. And we better have it. And I told Glenn last night, my burden is that we'll not get by just with a few camps now and then. We need deliverance Bible school. We do in the kingdom of heaven. And those that go into Europe and other places of missionary ability. We need some expressive, not long courses, but courses here that will teach and train, hallelujah, others to know the power of God. And it's an art. It's a ministerial art. Glory. Hallelujah. And I know some pastors, if you'd ask them to even do anything, my, they just fall to pieces, let alone stay with somebody 2 or 3 hours to see that they were set free. All right, you ready to give? Let's enjoy and thank God for a place where you and I can come. You might be visiting or not well acquainted, but this is one of the most unusual ministries in the United States today. And I say that not as a haphazard, but as an analysis of a well-traveled suitcase. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And beyond that, I'm proud of it. Hallelujah. Make no excuses. It's just a beautiful ministry God has raised up for this hour. Hallelujah. You can outgive the Lord no matter what you do. You'll find out in the end the Lord's outgiven you. Your silver and your gold, your love and service too. You can outgive the Lord no matter what you do. You can outgive the Lord. Get your offering out. No matter what you do, you'll find out in the end the Lord's outgiven you. Your silver and your gold, your love and service too. You cannot give the Lord no matter what you do. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to rejoice
when the rejoicing is due. Amen. Praise God. Overflowing. The word is overflowing. Hallelujah.
What is that song?
I never heard that one. That's a real oldie, and on my way down from Boomble this morning, I started singing it. I haven't sung it since I was just, you know.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
You know, Chuck doesn't come often enough, but some of the things we're doing here is because he keeps pushing us. The word of the Lord has come to Chuck many times in the last 15 years. Over our lives, firm our mind of what the Lord has in store for us and what is it yet ahead. And he's been pushing us for about 4 years to get this school opened up here.
That's right.
Well, now he's beginning to see it's beginning to look like it's about to happen. We get this building finished, all these rooms in the back finished up here for couples to stay in, and we'll have 12 private rooms back here. 6 on each floor, and then the four large auditoriums on the upper floor for bunk bed type of sleeping.
How many can we sleep?
We'll be able to sleep about 225 all together here in all the facilities that we have at the present. We'll have when this is finished, if we've calculated correctly. But this building here is costing about a third of what it would cost if we had contractors come in and do it. And I had no idea what the value of the building was. Myself, it never entered my mind. I never even tried to calculate it. But the bank has a small loan against this property, and they keep track of everything here. So they come and made a calculation of the value of this building that we're putting up. And they told me that this building that we've set up, the steel building, that when it's finished, it will be worth about $250,000, just the steel building. So, and this piece of land that we have that the Lord gave us here, he really gave it to us because the price we paid for it is so small compared to its present value that the bank will give us almost anything if we would take it. But we don't want to get in. We don't want that indebtedness. We don't want to be bound by the system any more than we have to. We want to be free from it so that things happen in the financial world that we believe are going to happen. We feel that we've had an insight into some of that and see that it's coming. We'll not be bound to the financial system at that time, so we'll be free from it. So we're believing the Lord to not only finish the building and help us with things like that, but be able to clear this place so that we're not tied to the financial system. And that's too long a story to talk about now, but it's coming. And you better prepare yourself for it because it's going to happen. But we see the need. Not only has Chuck seen it for years, the need of a place for the ministers to be able to come and have a concentrated deliverance taught to them and them understand it and receive it themselves so they can go back and not be a fanatic or not be carried away and get in troubles and things that have happened in their churches because they didn't know how to handle or what to do about things. But we need to be able to teach them. Since this thought has been propagated and Chuck has been pushing us for it, we've had ministers write to us from all over the country wanting to know whenever that was going to happen. They want to be told so they can make arrangements to come and be in these teaching classes. We'll have 2 sessions a day, and we'll bring in different ministers who will teach and do what we're talking about. And Chuck will come and teach so that they'll have an understanding of the release of the Lord in their lives and in the lives of their congregation. The Lord's given Chuck a wonderful ministry, and he has gone too much into that hardly here while he's here this time, but the Lord has given him a great insight into the release of the spiritual gifts in the individual person, that the Spirit of the Lord is resident in us. if we can come to the realization and be able to release that unto our brothers and our sisters. So, and I appreciate your offering this morning.
Amen.
There's nothing bothers me worse than taking an offering or receiving, because I've been so many places. For the last 30 years, I've been so many places where I've seen them take offerings and say, you know, until it just, I need deliverance from it, really. I really do, because it hurts me from what I've seen. And yet we need the finances, we need the help, and the people need to know it. But I really haven't been able to maybe relate to the people like I should be able to, the needs that we have. But I appreciate Chuck and others who feel the need that we have and are able to relate to the people.
Hallelujah.
What is necessary. And I appreciate it. Chuck was mentioning about, if you want to have an understanding more of what he's talking about, there's two books on the book table that are related to each other. One is called Two Babylons. That is a study book that you can study. It's really a study book. The other book is Mystery Babylon. It's a smaller book. It's an easy reading book. But the two books together will give you an inside understanding of traditional churches or denominational traditionalism that's carried in every denomination. I don't care what denomination you have belonged to or belong to or come out of, it carries some traces of Babylon. The Lord has blessed us in promoting what we feel are books that will be of value to the kingdom. And once in a while, we may get a book and handle it for a little while until we find, we don't always read the whole thing, but we had a bunch of books that came in here we ordered. We thought it was a wonderful book, and I happened to read, and I found a chapter in the middle of that book, and so help me. We shipped them all back. We were sorry that we had made a word about it, but that's what we'll do with them. We're not interested in propagating somebody's idea. We want the Spirit of the Lord to flow and move through what we stand behind. Well, bless you this morning.
Amen. I'm getting hungry.
Yes, and they got it all sitting back there ready for us. Lord, bless the food. Amen. Go get it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.